You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
You're listening to the Blurred Nerds Podcast, part of the ESO Network, brought to you by GBTV and the Geek Ventures. Welcome to the Blurred Nerds Podcast, ladies and gentlemen. This is Little Bit.
And this is the Geek Father.
Happy October, everyone. This is our first episode of the new month. And just another quick apology of us skipping a week, or not skipping a week, just being a week late, really, with the new episode. But things happen.
Yeah, real life gets in the way.
No, I could barely move last weekend. When I told you I needed to shift recording days, I went and had to help move bricks for an hour. Where we were
bending
down to pick them up and then having to load them. I had to get up in the back of the truck and like make stacks. I did so many squats.
And you're like, my quads.
Then I have a recurring back injury. You know, if it gets popped a certain way, well, then my back seizes and I can't move for a couple of days. And that's what happened. After about an hour, like, I kid you not, there was probably 2,000 bricks in this pile. Cameron wanted to buy them all. Wow. We maybe got 500, loaded
why
up.
Why is he buying all these bricks?
So they're path bricks for, you know, to make paths and patios and all that.
Okay.
So they're this zigzag kind of style, very popular with vintage homes. And they're like, if you buy them new, I think right now they're $11 a piece or something like that. Or maybe it's a square foot. I don't know. They're not, well, it's just not cheap if you want a lot.
Gotcha. And he obviously wanted a lot.
Yeah, he wants to extend he wants to replay it because we currently have some brick pathways and a half patio and some designs in our backyard. And he wants to replace all the red bricks with these and then make a bigger extension area for our patio, which again, not cheap. So, but after we,
so yeah, you just cause yourself some physical injury to save money. That's right. That's good, right?
Well, what's funny is he thought we were going to be able to put that whole pile in one load in his truck. And so like 400 to 500 filled up the truck and it like lowered it by almost 2 feet because of the weight. And this was like, this was out in Gray Forest, which is like 40 minutes away or something like that. The way that we had to drive to go to.
So you're just driving around, scraping everything. Your leaf springs scraping the ground.
It was so bad. But when we got home, I was like, I can't unload these. Like I can unload what you can drag out onto the tailgate, but I can't bend down anymore. I can't climb up in the back of the truck. I think I maybe got 20 of them unloaded and was like, I can't. My back is seizing so bad.
Oh.
And then he eventually was like, okay, I'm not going to go back and get the rest. It's like, we can figure out something else.
Yeah.
To fill in whatever space. Yep, that's my boring adult landscaping stories. But
welcome to the Blurred Nerds Podcast, where we tell boring adult landscaping stories for fun. Well, I mean, your weekend consisted of that. My weekend consisted of a friend of mine coming in from out of town who I hadn't, you know, we'd been internet friends, kind of friends. We grew to become really, really close friends since like 2006 or 7. So I've known her like 15 years. And finally she was like, and this is, she'd been planning to come out sooner, but every time something would come up, like, oh, I had to spend the money I had saved for the flight or whatever on this, or my kid needed this, or, you know, working this, or something happened, always kept us from meeting each other. Finally, this time it was like, let's meet up. I'm coming. I was like, I believe you. It's like, I don't think you believe me. I'm like, I do. Every time you tell me, I believe you. And something happens or it doesn't go down. Well, this time she finally made it out. She spent like Friday, Saturday here. And she was only like a quick couple of days in which she was lounging on my couch, playing video games, watching TV. And it was pretty damn awesome. It was really nice to have someone that I've known and gotten really close to and, you know, affection for, seeing them finally in person.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of a different feeling where you're just like, you knew they existed and you knew they were real and tangible, but it was just that different thing where they're physically there and you could like touch them and, you know, you just hang out there, you know, you could talk face to face, or it's just like that final confirmation where you're like, it's a real person. They're really real. This is really happening.
This is not an AI.
Yeah, this is not a bot. I'm not friends with a bot. Thank you, Jesus. This person really exists. So that was cool. And then, of course, she has to fly out like Sunday, like early Sunday morning. Her flight was like at 6 a.m. And, of course, she flies back just in time for Hurricane Ian because she lives in Jacksonville, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, she lands in Orlando literally like
right before the flooding,
right before the hurricane was going. Yeah. Dang. So she gets home like literally hours before the hurricane blows through. Luckily, I mean, her house wasn't damaged and her cars are fine. And they get knocked at like a few branches out of a tree. And
that is like, because I heard from my other friends in Florida, they said there was a good chunk of Orlando just completely flooded.
Well, yeah. I mean, most of the state of Florida is, a good chunk of it is nearly underwater anyway.
The center up to the northeast, at least.
Well, I mean, the hurricane just cut a swath.
Yeah.
Through the just from one side, one coast to the other, and it just laid inundated it with wind and rain. I'm like, ah, dang, man. I never gonna live in a hurricane area. I'm sorry.
I did it as a kid, the Golden Triangle area of Texas, where like Port Arthur, Groves, Orange. Like Orange is like 40 minutes from Lake Charles, Louisiana. Type of coastal area. So I went through there was a hurricane. I want to say it was like 4 or 5 or something. And we had to take cover in a metal shop building.
Oh.
Because we were out when I think a tornado whipped up or something, or just high wind. But when you're dealing with the high winds and a metal building, man, that's like that makes an impression on you as a kid. That noise.
A wind whistling against the building. Yeah. And all the rattling. You're just like, sounds like a freight train is about to blow through you.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah. Hurricanes and tornadoes. No, sir. Thank you.
We do get tornadoes here.
We do.
And scary ass hail.
The hail, I gotta say, big sometimes as a baby, just, I mean, rocks falling from the sky, you know. You just were like, please, 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 God, don't let it destroy my windshield. I don't want to have to make a claim against an insurance for my windshield. Come on.
We've lost 2 windshields. We've lost bathroom windows.
Just boulders coming out of the sky, man. Yeah. You're like, Texas storms, man. I tell you.
Yeah. let's talk about what kind of like broke the internet a bit, or the latest thing to break the internet this week, which I can't remember who posted it, but somebody had posted it in the Geekvengers, where they're like, tell me this isn't a hoax.
Georgia Claire, she's kind of a geek newbie, you know, she's just discovering her geek side kind of deal, and she's like, please tell me this is true, that, you know, they're doing Deadpool 3. And I'm like, yeah, it's and Ryan Reynolds announced it and brought on our friend Wolverine, old school Hugh Jackman Wolverine, to reprise his role. They even covered the fact that I guess it's gonna be a time travel story, and Deadpool's gonna pull Wolverine from before Logan, like, so any point between 2023 and 2029, like, and he's gonna be in the movie, and you kind of, but it's not going to interfere with the Logan,
I mean, it can't,
where he dies timeline.
It can't interfere with Logan, really, because that's old man Logan. I mean, that's in the future.
Yeah, but it's 2029. Yeah, it's not like, you know, because this Deadpool, I guess, is gonna be his first official MCU introduction. I mean, it's part of Disney now, so he's part of the MCU. So, I mean, they're going to, I guess this is going to be like a multiverse kind of It's a multiverse. You can have this Logan for this movie, and then
it's
we can
all multiverse.
Have a different Logan for a different movie, you know, whenever they decide to finally introduce the mutants.
I just find it funny, you know, because after Logan, he's like, no, I'm, you know, me and Patrick Stewart, we're hanging up. I'm done being Logan. And I get the, like, it's hard on his body. Like, in fact, today he's already put up a photo of him in the gym starting to get back in the Wolverine shape. But, you know, when you hear him say that, it's like, if the right project comes along.
Right.
Or Ryan Reynolds does not leave you alone.
If Kevin Feige was like, hey, we need you for Secret Wars, or we need you for some big Avengers tentpole movie, he's going to be like, all right, saddle it up. And he's going to get back in that gym and clank them weights and get shredded and swole again. You throw enough money at these dudes, they'll come back. It's like what I hear.
It'll be interesting. Robert,
like it's when I hear Robert Downey Jr. and Chris Evans are like, no, we're done. And it's like, yeah, the right project, the right amount of money, you'll consider being undone.
I don't know. I can actually see them both being done.
Well, the way they left their characters, I mean, it's a believable ending point for them both. I think.
I believe it when they say they're done. More so Robert than Chris. Like, just because of how.
Well, Robert they might
seems
believe
to
it
be as as a individual.
I mean, well, they might believe it at the time when they say it, but like you said, circumstances arise. You never know what happens.
It would be interesting to see, though, if we have Hugh being the straight man or if they give him some of the comedic bits.
I would think he's probably going to play the straight man, the annoyed straight man.
Yeah.
But we'll see. I mean, I don't even know any more details about the movie than that.
All I know is, was it James Mangold? Is that who did? Is it Mangold who did Wolverine?
Logan.
Logan?
Yeah.
Yeah. Is James his first name?
Yeah.
Yeah. I got something right without Googling.
You got it right. Yay.
I mean, he did, you know, once a day or so after they made the first announcement before they did that follow up video, he did tweet or answered in an interview question something that he was aware this was going to happen before they went ahead and made the announcement. So it's not. There was a lot of people involved and knew about this before we actually got to hear about it. And he's perfectly, perfectly fine with it. He's not worried about it tarnishing the legacy of Logan or anything. He thinks it's great.
Well, yeah, because I mean, multiverse, you can, Logan still stands where it stands. It's a fantastic movie. So I'm sure they'll all work it all out and they'll have a plan for it. In other news though, there's a kind of a shift in tone from Disney about Armor Wars. They have shifted it from being a Disney Plus series to a film.
Now, I'm not sure if that's a good or a bad thing.
I don't know, because I haven't heard enough about Armor Wars to judge one way or the other. I mean, it was supposed to be a six episode limited series, but they're moving it to a movie, and I don't know. It's like, is a movie going to be enough time to tell the story you want to tell with Armor Wars?
Or maybe it's they're moving it to a movie because it's going to be a big spectacle, you know, and some.
Or, yeah.
Like, we know some effects are better on a big screen.
Or
than
maybe they're moving it to a movie because it's going to have a more tight connection with some other major events in the MCU.
Yeah.
That, like, the Disney Plus series don't always kind of have that tight connection. So I don't know. We're going to find out. It doesn't come out till 2023. So, and now that they changed this, the filming won't start until later than that. So we may not see this till 2024.
But coming much sooner than that, something that's been getting some rave reviews and will be the next MCU series, and I think we're getting it in like 3 weeks, is Werewolf by Night. We will be finally getting into some more MCU horror. I mean, we can't really call the what was the X-Men movie that
New Mutants?
The New Mutants, yeah, that's not really the X-Men, where that, you know, that storyline is horror and they tried to bring horror into it but didn't quite work. Early reviews from Werewolf by Night are saying that this truly is a step into an adult horror situation for the MCU.
I'm
very excited to see it. You know, love me some horror.
You can't always tiptoe around the horror stuff. Like, oh, think of the children. I'm like, you know what? Think of the adults sometimes too.
Yeah. Well, and also, you know, Kevin Feige said that this show is gonna have something to do with the broader scope of Marvel going forward.
Yeah, so it's gonna have more of a connection to the stories that are happening now, as you think. I mean, it's Kevin Feige. I'll never, whatever ever comes out of his mouth, I'll never not trust it because it's Kevin Feige.
I think it's going to be cool to go from, you know, our sitcom to horror. Like, it's going to be
She-Hulk breaking the fourth wall.
Yeah.
Like, you know, shenanigans. Wah, wah, wah. You know, kind of, you know, it's like a sitcom kind of situation to, oh, he's a werewolf and he's ate that guy's face, you know.
So, speaking of She-Hulk, this past week's episode, I could barely stop laughing during the whole thing. I mean, that has been my favorite episode of the season so far. It was a perfect superhero comedy half hour for me. Mm-hmm. But I love Tim Roth being deadpan funny, and it was a perfect example of that.
Like, Abomination, he's just a self-help guru.
It started to remind me of his character a bit in Four Rooms. Which is my favorite Tim Roth role.
And what was the guy, the porcupine dude?
Yeah.
Where they were finally like convinced him to take his mask off. And they're like, oh, the smell. He's like, do I look ashy? Like, no, man, you smell stanky. Yeah, no, I you know, it's a fun show. It's hilarious. It's supposed to be half hour jokey thing. I think that was episode 7. So these last two, I hope Daredevil kind of shows up here. But at this point, I'm feeling like he's going to be more like a teaser kind of post credit setup for, you know, his own show. And I think they just kind of threw that in the trailer for the She-Hulk to get people watching and excited. And they didn't really have any plans to
put him in the show proper.
I mean,
we often see things in a trailer that don't end up in a show or a movie.
Look what they did with Infinity War. They had Hulk running and the whole crew running towards the camera. Da, 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 da. You're like, oh, man, Hulk, they're going to fight. It's going to be awesome. And Hulk wasn't in that damn movie hardly at all. He gets his ass kicked in the beginning, and it's all banner for the rest of the thing. So, yeah, it's just them screwing with your expectations to get you your butt in the seat to watch it.
I mean, I do have to say, I do feel like the She-Hulk has found its footing and comedic timing more and more each episode. So,
yeah, I just want to find out who's behind the intelligentsia.
Mm-hmm.
My money is on the leader. So hopefully we'll see him, you know, these last two episodes.
Yeah.
So what do you think of Andor? You've been watching any of that?
I'm pretty much caught up on all shows now, which is weird. Yeah, but
what?
No.
Call the alarm, boys. She's caught up.
Since the first episode of Andor, I have been like, each week when the new episode's out, I'm like, Cam, you need to hurry up and get the fuck up. You need to hurry up and get home. Like, we're watching Star Wars. You're not falling asleep.
It is like how Star Wars, I feel like, would be approached. It was made specifically for adults.
Yeah,
like they don't kind of water it down. They don't, you know, deal with little kitty subjects. Like, they're dealing with major adult themes.
I mean, do you remember how excited I was for Rogue One and how I gushed about it afterwards and was like, this might be my favorite Star Wars movie?
I do remember. Do you remember me crying at the movie theater?
Yeah, I think we all did. My fear, but also my hope, like my fear was like Andor would not be the same kind of tone as Rogue One. And, you know, because that's to me, that was the epitome of that's what I want out of Star Wars as an adult. That's and to not really know anybody, you know, to not have these characters that I grew up with and have like this fully fleshed out view of them in my head. I like going into a story where it's like we have not seen these people before, or we only see teasers of people we do know, type of thing. So
yeah,
I like that this is new characters, and on a planet we haven't spent a lot of time on. And
I like what they did with Cassian's backstory. It was like he's not like the traditional character from a, you know, he was an indigenous person, like he was from a planet, and they were just kind of, I feel like some of the behind the scenes stuff I've been watching from like other, you know, YouTube channels, they've equated it that he was one of his, those group of children that he was with, they were survivors. They were the kids of the miners from that big mining pit.
Yeah.
That they were camped near, and that they were just basically the clothes they were wearing were like leftover clothing from their parents or whatever. And their parents all died, and they were just kind of left behind by the Empire. Like, yeah, well, you know what? There's something happened here. We'll brush it under the rug. You know, fuck those kids. You know, they'll be all right. So, I mean, it was just, and they didn't put subtitles. So you just kind of were like, I don't know. It just thematically in the tone, I just feel like all the previous Star Wars stuff, it feels like you're seeing the universe through the eyes of like a kid or an adolescent.
Well, or somebody that has hope.
Right. Or this, you're seeing it through the eyes of people who've had that hope taken away and, you know, are just it's dangling by a thread, and you're just kind of living in a world that's coming to terms with the totalitarianism and the despair, and it's just, it's hard to find people who are willing to continue the fight even though it seems hopeless.
Well, I guess although I think at that time it's willing to find people to start the fight, not get down, like, because it hasn't really started yet. We don't have the Empire is in its infancy.
Yeah, it's like 5 years before the Battle of Yavin. So the Empire isn't in its infancy. It's at its height.
Like, well, but we just, like in this past episode, there was outpost is the wrong word. There was like military security that was on each planet. It wasn't, you know, the stormtroopers. It wasn't the Empire. It was independent groups that reported to the Empire.
Yeah, but that's
the Empire is coming in to take over.
Well, that's how they were trying to exert control of the individual systems, is with CoreSec, and each sector had their own security team that reported to the Empire, because the Empire just couldn't cover everybody. But, you know, once they had that Death Star built, they were just like, you know, fuck the governors, fuck the regional governments. You know, you don't want to listen to us, we'll just blow up the planet. I mean, I'm interested to see where it goes, because I've always been a fan of, I mean, I don't want to see the Empire win or nothing, but I've always just kind of been a low-key nerd about the Empire. Like, I like their uniforms and the stark whites and the crisp grays and blacks and the stormtroopers and their hallways and the whole layouts of their ships.
I think it's interesting to see, like, I don't remember the character's name, but the guy who the security officer is basically trying to prove himself when his boss is out of town and it all goes to shit.
That guy, I feel like he's
his facial expressions, man.
And he plays it so serious and deadpan, but it's funny.
Yeah.
Like when he gets in these situations, you're like, they're real and believable situations, but it's like, I can see this guy getting into shenanigans like that because he's trying to prove himself, and he's like, is exceeding his capability constantly, which is what gets him in these stupid ass situations in the first place. Like, if you just listen to his boss, who said, you know what, these guys were in a can, you know, they were in a brothel they shouldn't have been in, fighting with dudes they shouldn't have been fighting with, and you know what, they got what this coming to them, so we'll say some blah 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 bullshit and write it off. And that guy was like, no, justice needs to be done. And that's when he got himself in in trouble, because went fuck around on a planet you should have been fuck around on.
Well, it's interesting though, because, like, especially with his facial expressions, like, you can see obviously he is never been in face-to-face combat,
right,
or on a mission, so to speak.
His rah-rah speech.
Yeah, you can, at least to me, once all the shit starts going down, it seems like you can see it on his face. He didn't realize how brutal it could get and how bad it could be when, like, innocent bystanders are getting hurt.
He's like, oh, I didn't, I just thought of combat in my simulator. It feels like he's like a Lieutenant Gorman kind of character from Aliens, where they're asking him, how many drops is this for you, Lieutenant? It's like 38. And then Vasquez is like, how many combat drops? And he's like, 2, including this one. And she's like, oh, shit. You know, he's just like, this is that kind of guy where he's like, the rah-rah speech he tried to give, like, his sergeant was like, pumped everyone up. And he was like, so, like, yeah, this is important, guys. And we just kind of need to, like, pull together and go get him. Go team. Rah,
I saw speculation online that people were thinking that he might ultimately switch over to the rebels. I don't know if I can see that. But I can see that he, at least in some regards, is having some conflicting emotions over things.
Maybe, but I see him as, he could just as well end up an incompetent Imperial officer. Like, you know, the Peter Principle, he just keeps failing upwards. Because, you know, the Empire is full of ignorant, dumbass dudes who find themselves self-important and with fat egos that don't really know what the hell they're doing.
Also, very exciting to see Mon Mothma this past week.
Oh, yeah. Finally.
Mm-hmm.
I really hope she gets some more. Yeah, just more Mon Mothma. Really, it's going to really flesh out a character that, you know, throughout the history of Star Wars has just kind of been an important character and one that, you know, fans like, but hasn't really gotten the screen time that
I
feel like they could afford to her. And I'm just like, I like this show, and it's going to be 2 seasons, like 24 total episodes.
I like that we already have that guarantee.
Yeah. And I'm like, I don't think they're going to do this, but I still hope they don't. I don't want to see, like, don't throw a Darth Vader in there. Don't give me that. I don't want that.
No.
I want this to be like,
you gave us the perfect Darth Vader in Rogue One.
Right.
But we don't need it in the plus, because I think we already established that Cassian had not seen Darth in person.
Yeah, they didn't meet, and I don't think Mon Mothma ever met him, so it was just like, I don't know if there's any point for him to be in this show. No. So don't throw him in there just for, you know.
Quite frankly, I don't even think we need stormtroopers. So,
well, I mean, you might need I think you might need some stormtroopers, because I mean, it is
I like seeing the inept local security teams right now.
Well, I want to see some inept stormtroopers too. That's just me.
But let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back to talk about after some of the other new
messages. We'll be right back.
Hey, hey, we're Monkeying Around, a podcast about the monkeys.
Almost 12 years old, Davy Jones was it for me.
I was having problems dancing and tambourining. I got overzealous and overly excited.
Like, we've had our own little version of Monkey Mania 50 years later, which is just crazy.
Be sure to like and subscribe to us on your favorite podcast platform. Check us out on Twitter, Facebook, and monkeyingaround.com.
And we're back.
Yay.
So, speaking of being caught up on TV, I might be caught up on this and you aren't. So let's see. AMC premiered Interview with a Vampire this week. Yesterday, I think.
That one I have not.
Holy watched. Shit. It is.
Is it bonkers or what?
No, it's so much better than I expected it to be. Like, so I hate the movie. Hate it. I don't. The only good thing about that movie, well, some of the bit part actors, is Kristen Dunst as Claudia. Like, that I thought was perfectly cast and acted, but Tom Cruise is a vampire. Mm-mm.
Well, Tom Cruise might actually be a vampire in real life. I mean,
like, Brad Pitt as Louis, like, it's okay. It's just not what I picture. None of them were what I picture when I read the books. And I've read pretty much all of Anne Rice's books. So, and read them before the movie. So, you know, like many book readers, you have something in your head, because typically your writer is going to go out of their way to really describe what these characters look like. So I just didn't buy it, a lot of it. And I just found the movie overindulgent. I know it was popular, though. Like, yay, people enjoyed it. But they've switched around the races of some of the actors in the roles here. But so far, I'm like super happy with the casting choices, and think that they're doing a good job of like slowing down the pacing, and it seems to be really matching the storytelling from the book, at least from the first episode. So I thought it was just going to be cheesy and campy. Although, I mean, AMC handles horror well. It's not their fault that I hate watch The Walking Dead, but they know what they're doing with horror. So perhaps I should have had more faith, but I'm very excited about where the rest of this season's going to go. Plus, I love seeing New Orleans, you know, 100 years ago, really being brought to life in a way I think a lot of shows and movies just kind of cheap out on.
Right.
There was beautiful imagery, great costumes, good acting. And they did not shy away from the vampire sex. And I'm here for vampire sex. The book goes into detail. Like, that's what you need. It's going into detail. I'm so glad another network did not pick up the show. I mean, like, I guess Netflix or something wouldn't have censored it. But, you know, if this was like Fox or NBC or something, you know, we wouldn't be getting all this. So,
yeah, it would be censored big time.
So if you're a vampire fan and Rise fan and you haven't watched it yet, it did indeed drop yesterday. They are doing it on a weekly basis, so you can't binge it all at once, which was annoying to me because it got me hooked and I was ready for it. But there you go. I give it two massive thumbs up. Also getting thumbs up for me this past week was the latest episode of Rings of Power, because we finally got some action.
Finally,
I thought it was the
Numenor finally showed up and showed out and got their battle on.
Well, yeah, we had a battle, and I thought it was a well done battle.
Yeah,
didn't feel too dark, you know, how like Game of Thrones could get with the lighting.
I could see what was happening.
Like, yeah, we could see.
What was going on,
which is great because it was a battle at night, and you didn't have to like turn off every light in the room to be able to see what was happening on the TV.
Let me adjust the contrast here. I can't see anything. Yeah, no, I thought it was really good. And it kind of had, you know, you're thinking like, well, that's it. That's how it ends. And then you find out that no, it's not. That the bad guy outthought and outplotted them. Things have gotten worse.
And what a great cliffhanger.
Absolutely. Was that the season finale?
No, we have two more episodes. Now, see, I had that moment when the cliffhanger happened. I was like, "Oh, we better not have just gotten an action packed episode and this be it." And
give us all the action, and they're like, "Wait until next season."
So yeah, we have two more episodes, which is interesting because I think that would wait. Was this episode 6? Yeah, so 8 episodes.
I thought it was eight or nine. Either way, I hope there's at least one more episode, because
there's two more. I did verify there's two more episodes coming. Okay. But still, like, that was a great showing all the like connecting to what all the orcs have been digging, you know, throughout the whole season.
Yeah,
like,
you're like,
getting to see what the tunnels were for.
You're like, I was like, why are they digging all those tunnels? And it was just like, oh shit,
I thought it was just a sneak attack and pop up from the ground during all the cities.
Yeah, no,
you know?
It was like, we're digging these so, you know, when we release the water, it'll flood through all these tunnels and shit'll go bad real quick. I was thinking when I was watching it, I was like, where's that water going? And I saw it, I was like, oh, it's you know, Mount Doom, which wasn't really Mount Doom yet. I mean, it was like an inactive kind of volcano, and all that water went in there and activated all that steam, whatever, and then blah, 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 boom, you know.
Well, plus, we can see that Adar has a hate on for Sauron and doesn't want him back. So
yeah.
It's going to be interesting to see that play out. Like, are we going to, oh, are you kidding me?
She missed me.
Chat for a moment so I can go let them outside.
So another show that it's kind of a reboot of a classic from Little Bit and I's generation, Quantum Leap. A new Quantum Leap series debuted on NBC a few weeks ago. It is a revival of previous Quantum Leap, you know, which this one takes place 30 years after the events of the original 1989 show. So, this one, it's got starring, see who the cast is. We've got Raymond Lee as Dr. Ben Song, who is kind of the new Sam Beckett. We've got Caitlin Bassett as Addison Augustine, his fiance and observer. She's like the new Owl.
See, that's the one show. Okay, I was wrong. I am not caught up. I have not started Quantum Leap yet. So,
yeah, I mean, and you've got some other characters. Like, you've got Mason Alexander Park as Ian Wright, the Quantum Leap Artificial Intelligence Chief Architect. You might recognize him as he played Desire in
Sandman.
Sandman, yeah. So that's really cool. And you got Ernie Hudson as Herbert Magic Williams, which fans of the original Quantum Leap might remember that one episode, Sam jumped into his brother's squad in Vietnam and he jumped into Magic. And the guy like, oh my God, what's going on here? And they basically ducked and helped him avoid an ambush. And that guy, they call him Magic because he always seemed to know about the enemy. And I don't know if they call him Magic because of that time Sam inhabited him and knew all of what was going to happen. So they're kind of trying to make that. They're making a few connections to the original. Like, it's in the same universe. Sam never did come home. Like, Al has died and his daughter is doing some mysterious, we think they're nefarious things, but we don't know if they are or not. We're not sure. And so Dr. Song, he discovered some information and he was trying to get to a specific point in time. So he uploaded a new algorithm, operating system, whatever, to Ziggy, still the same AI. And he tried to get to that, you know, destination, didn't make it. So now he's stuck Quantum Leaping through time like Sam did. And I heard that Scott Bakula has said that they presented him the script or whatever and wanted him to guest star or whatever, and either, I don't know, it wasn't enough money for him or the guest spot wasn't big enough, so he said he's not going to appear in the series.
But would you spoil it?
I wouldn't. I mean, I would find a way to lie too. And I hope that's what he's doing. I hope he's lying, because this show is not going to survive if they don't give us some Sam Beckett. If they don't get him home, like, you could get him home and continue with the new series, but you've got to resolve that plot thread.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just have two guys ping-ponging through time and quietly.
No, it'd be like if they like decided to continue Sliders. You know, it's like, yeah. Oh no, you need to address what happened.
Yeah, you need to give us, you know, like this, you need to give us a resolution to Sam's story. You know, I would love that, because now and then he could maybe show up on a few episodes here and there trying to help him out. And I'm thinking the whole time, this Ziggy has been the AI for 40 some odd years, and this AI has not learned enough to figure out how to get these fuckers back into our own time. Like, what kind of AI is this? What kind of program did they write? This sounds bad program. I would not want to be part of this. They're still trying to perfect this 40 years later. Like, move on to another project that makes money. Can't imagine the billions you've sunk into it and it doesn't work. It feels like they're shooting it on a budget because it's NBC. So a lot of it feels shot.
But is it Peacock or is it NBC?
Well,
is it airing Is it airing on NBC or can you only get it on the app?
It's airing on NBC.
Okay, then that.
I'm pretty sure.
There you go.
So it's like, it feels cheap. It looks cheap. And it's just the effects are just like, you know, it just feels very limited by NBC. And, you know, because you.
What was the show you said was very implausible? And I said, as bad as La Brea. And you said, no.
Oh.
Was it Quantum Leap or was it something else?
No, it was something else.
Oh, okay.
I can't think of the show that it was, but
some other disaster show. Probably.
Oh no, it was, yeah, it was The Last Light. Last Light is what it was called, with Matthew Fox. Or it was Last Light.
Oh, okay.
And it was just like, what if the entire world's oil supply got, you know, infected by this bacteria that they created in a lab to eat oil and clean up oil, and it makes it unusable, basically. So, but all at the same time, people's cars start sputtering out, power grids go down, you know, somebody can't, like, you know, the coffee maker won't work anymore, you know, and if you need oil, it's like it just stopped working. I'm like, all at the same time at once, that don't think that would happen. Think about people's oil, you know, it's like the level of, I guess, coordination you would need to get access to all the oil reserves and stores and supplies at one time to infect them all with this bacteria. Like, it seemed so fucking implausible. I'm like, this is only in Hollywood. I mean, it's a TV show. Is it real life? Like, no, it wouldn't happen. But anyway, Quantum Leap is okay. So I give it like a C.
Oh, that's not good.
No, we
do not often give.
you're gonna watch it and then be like, okay, I hope Sam Beckett shows up in this, and you're gonna be expecting him to every episode because that's what you want to see. That's why people tuned in to this reboot, because they want to see Sam come home. We've been waiting on that promise since what, 1994? That's what we want to see. And then, you know, you don't know if he's gonna be in the show or not. So you're watching this other guy, and it's just like, it's just a rehash. And you're like, just come up with something new, man. You know, you should have been like, we're going to send someone in to find Sam and get him home, you know, whatever. That's just what I'm just kind of, it's like pizza.
It's meh.
Yeah. It's like, yeah. It'd be better if it was hot and fresh, which is what I want. But I mean, as it is, it's all right. That's all I can say about it. it's all right.
So I guess something we can end this week's show on, something else new. I don't know if you watched it yet, but yesterday, Hocus Pocus Part 2 hit Disney Plus.
I did not. I didn't watch Hocus Pocus Part 1.
You've never seen it?
That's just not my jam, man.
What, witches?
Yeah, no, just it ain't my thing. I wasn't down with it. I never watched it. I'm sorry, I can't watch everything.
No, I just said, like, because when we started watching the sequel, a song broke out, and Cameron's like, I don't remember the first one being a musical. And so, like, some people I know who haven't watched it thought it was a musical. I was like, no, there's only one song. So that's not a musical. But I thought it was so for those who have seen it, they played a little bit more into folklore. They kept giving us a fake out with a black cat, which actually got Cameron. I was like, no, that's not what's going to happen. We got to see some cameos from some RuPaul Drag Race queens. It was cute. Costuming was gorgeous. I actually got to see some behind the scenes stuff on the costuming today. The teenagers weren't super annoying, which is...
Oh, well, good. I'm glad the teenagers aren't super annoying then.
Well, we know how teenage characters can be in shows. especially
get your show canceled real quick.
Yeah, well, and especially Disney. You know, because sometimes the kids are just too saccharine.
Oh.
So I thought, like, did it live up to what the original was for a lot of us when we were kids and saw it? No. But, you know, Doug Jones, always great, reprising his character of Billy Bones. Really, anytime he came on screen with his pirate British accent, I was just like, ah, I know him.
He gives great hugs.
The plot was okay. It's a decent sequel. Did I think it was necessary? No. But did I enjoy having, you know, something new tied to Disney Halloween to watch? Yeah. I'd say it was about as feel good as their Muppets Haunted Mansion last year, which is not a bad thing. So if you're a fan of the original, it's enjoyable, but don't expect it to be as good as the original, which is often the case with sequels, especially a sequel that's like, what, 20, 25 years late?
Yeah.
But, boy, they made Bette Midler look young again, which is wild.
That was really the miracle of the whole thing.
Young again is the wrong term, but I know what she, you know, I know how she's aged. So the
CGI made her look young again.
No, I don't think it was CGI. I think it was just stage makeup.
Must have been a lot of it then.
I know movies do touch-ups now on imperfect skin, but
yeah,
you could tell she was older than the original movie, but I think they did a great job on the makeup.
Well, that's good. Well, yeah. I mean, that's okay. I'll take your word for it. I mean, it's not going to get me to watch it, but.
Okay, but what is it? Is it because it's kiddie? Is it because, that it was originally made for kids? Is it because of the actors in it? That it's Disney?
Just because it was like really, I always felt it was a made for kids Disney kind of gig. And the only stuff I like from Disney that's made for kids is the animated stuff, like Pixar stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I only watch Disney because I'm here for the MCU and Star Wars.
Well, I mean, I don't really watch any of the other Disney live action movies either. Hocus Pocus, just because Halloween and witches typically always gets me.
I know. Although, you long enough to know that.
Yeah, well, I mean, not like I'm going to watch The Worst Witch or something like that, because that's just too kiddie for me. But I think, you know, with us knowing Doug, I'd say maybe one day when you're bored, just watch it to watch Doug. Okay. But I would watch the original first, so you could get, because he's in it more in the first one, and then see the progression of the character. He's great. They gave him some really great jokes in the sequel, though. So
I like Doug. So
yeah, but it's one of the roles he's become most iconic for, I guess you'd say. Like, we know him from, you know, all the stuff, Pan's Labyrinth, Hellraiser, Saru, but
yeah,
Billy will always hold a special place in my heart.
Billy Bones.
Yeah,
I love you, Billy Bones.
But that about does us for this week's show, folks. As always, we appreciate you tuning in and hanging out with us, and we hope, wherever you are, you're able to clean up from the, if you're in the storm areas, we hope you didn't get too much damage and have an easy cleanup. If you're in the south like us, I hope you're finally starting to have some fall weather.
You know, hey,
we're getting a hint of it after 7 o'clock. So
it didn't break 100 degrees, which is, we're happy with.
Yeah. And yeah, after at night, it feels great.
You're like, ooh, it's, I don't want to open the windows. It's a nice breeze. It's,
yeah, I've been,
it's like, to, it's only like 75.
Oh, I've finally been able to leave my thermostat set at 78 during the day. It's great. So,
yeah, or like, we're close to the open the windows during the day, let the breeze blow through kind of weather.
Except we still have mosquitoes, so no.
Well, that's why you have, you know, window nets, you know, screens.
They still find their way through.
They're going to find their way through anyway.
I open the door to let the dogs in and out, and then all of a sudden there's just like 30 of them. It's like, damn it.
That's why you need to get an indoor bug zapper like me.
Mm, yeah, I should get one of
those. One of those electric zappers, and they just go right through the light.
I have put out my Halloween decorations inside. Maybe that'll just go with the decor.
Yeah, I should just have dead mosquitoes in the tray at the bottom, and you're just like, Murr. Yeah. They find their way into my lair. Yeah. We hope all you folks are enjoying your Halloween month, because I know a lot of folks are into Halloween big time and they love the whole month. So
it me.
It you. Yeah. Well, your birthday's in the month. So,
yep. My birthday, my wedding anniversary.
I think I've already got a good gift picked out for you.
And Michelle's birthday is this month too. So, yeah, Halloween's lots of fun.
Hell yeah.
And or October's lots of fun.
So, October's a good month.
But until next time, folks, y'all take care out there.
And as always, don't forget your pillow.
Pillow. Ah.
One pillow. Two pillows. You've been listening to the Blurred Nerds Podcast, a member of the ESO Network. Join in on the nerd fun by following the Blurred Nerds on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. You can also check out our sister channel, GVTV, on YouTube at GeekVentures Television. Have comments or show ideas? Want to hear more? Subscribe today, join us on our social media channels, or send us an email to theblurrednerds@gmail.com.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping for the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.